Hello, everyone. Welcome, maybe, back to the Everything Is Time podcast. My name is Jeremy.
Yeah, maybe welcome to season 3.
Wow, okay. So I introduce myself, and you're just like, screw them. They know who I am. I'm an icon. Is that how it goes? All right, wow. She's Ruby, yeah, for those of you that don't remember, but I assume everyone does, according to her.
For a second, I thought you were drinking out of Starbucks cup, and I had a lot of questions. I was like, okay.
Believe it or not, not every drink is from Starbucks, Ruby.
No, but that looks like a Starbucks tumbler. I wish the audience could see this right now. I was like, oh my God, wait, Jeremy, are you a Starbucks person now? Do you have a gold card?
This is from Costco.
Did you make sure that the nails match the cup because it's almost that shade of blue? Are you
losing sight now too?
Jeremy, just like sight now also, that implies that like multiple things are missing. It's making me feel better. What was I going to say? Yeah, no, but I saw the cup and I was like, oh my God, wait, is Jeremy a Starbucks person? Because this changes everything.
Okay, I guess we're just getting into this. We don't have a topic today, by the way. We're just talking. So what does it mean being a Starbucks person? No. I am on a train of thought. Let's jump on this train of thought and see if it leads us anywhere decent.
I was very excited. And then you burst my bubble and I was like, oh, never mind. Same old Jeremy.
Wow. Okay. Same old, we don't know your name because you didn't introduce yourself.
We don't know. I love how you include yourself in that. You're like, you know, Ruby, we don't know.
I forgot.
Jeremy, after 14 years of friendship, Ruby, I forgot.
Yeah. New name, who dis?
Right. New phone, who dis? Definitely something I'll be getting from Jeremy in the future.
Yeah. Okay. But a question, if I can ask one. What does it mean to be a Starbucks person? Like, do you have to have a gold card before you're a Starbucks person?
Yeah. No. Okay. Actually, I take that back. You don't have to have a gold card, but you have to, like, frequent Starbucks and just, like, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy, like, the things that, like, especially beverages, like, special beverages. Because some people go and they get, like, boring black coffee. And I have questions for those people. Why are you paying so much for a cup of coffee that's just, like, a cold brew coffee with ice? Like, why are you not buying a gingerbread latte? Why are you not buying a caramel brulee latte?
Okay.
The things you can't make at home.
So, wait a second. Are you claiming then that people are only valid Starbucks customers if they don't get something that is coffee-centric?
People are, what I'm claiming, right? This is my claim. This is allegedly my opinion.
Okay.
So, the real, like, Starbucks, like, clientele are the ones who go to Starbucks and get like the drinks that are specifically made by Starbucks that no other places really make, like their holiday flavors that come back every year, or just like certain flavors they have that are base flavors. Like it's not going to be the same thing ordering black coffee versus ordering like a white chocolate mocha or something.
What if you like black coffee and you don't like white chocolate mocha?
Then why are you paying so much for Starbucks when you can just get like black coffee and like... I can make that at home. Can I make like some kind of weird unicorn drink? No.
See, this is where we're different because I don't think you could pay me to drink the unicorn drink.
No, that one was not good. I did not try it, but I watched reviews on it and apparently it was not great. So
does that mean like a pumpkin spice latte situation?
It's a specialty drink.
Okay, but other places sell it. Therefore, not
right,
special.
Exactly. I know. But I'm not being like, if you only get this pumpkin spice latte. I'm just saying, like, the drinks that cannot be made at home. I mean, I guess technically any drink can be made at home.
Yeah, you can make any drink.
But the drinks that can, like, not be made easily at home, where it's just not, like, the weirdest thing that you're going... It'd be like going to Starbucks and getting, like, a venti milk is how I view it. And getting, like, a black brew coffee. I'm like, what is
a
this?
A venti milk?
Yeah.
It's a coffee company, supposedly. Why wouldn't... Okay. The idea, though, is that they're... I'm not saying I agree with this, but the idea is that their coffee, if you were to get it, is better than what you could make at home.
Oh, I don't agree with the statement that, like, their black brewed regular coffee... I don't know about their nitro. I heard their nitro is pretty good, but I haven't tried it, so... You know. But anyway, like, I just thought... I was like, oh, Jeremy, do you have a Starbucks tumbler? And I was disappointed. It's 2023 and Jeremy's still not a Starbucks person. We'll check in again next year.
I think my utility out of Starbucks is that they are a vendor that sells coffee. That is it. I like coffee as in if you brew a thing of coffee that's black coffee and you give it to me, I'll drink it and enjoy it. I don't like things that don't have coffee as the main ingredient or are coffee light.
I'm sorry. If you give me like a cup of black coffee, I'll tweak it a little bit, but I'll still drink it.
What does that mean?
I cannot drink it just black with no sugar. So that doesn't make me any less of a coffee connoisseur, Jeremy. I feel like the thing is, Ruby, you're not valid because you don't drink coffee, actually.
I made, unlike other people in this call, I made no comments as to whether someone is valid or not by their coffee preferences.
It's okay. You also didn't have to make that point because in frequent other episodes, you have basically made it known that you really have a disdain for the way I make coffee or drink coffee.
Well, I like black coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black coffee, coffee with a little bit of cream in it. Sure. I'm also a fan. I don't like sugar in coffee in any capacity. In the same way, I don't like sugar in any form of tea. But I really, what I was saying before, I don't like things that are supposed to be like coffee. I don't like coffee ice cream, for example.
Oh, coffee ice cream is gross. That's something we can agree on.
Because
it's an abomination.
It's like if you took a cup of coffee and you overloaded it with cream and sugar to where it kind of tastes like coffee.
Not sweet, though. Like to
coffee,
me, coffee
ice cream
isn't sweet.
Ruby, it is so sweet.
But to me, coffee ice cream isn't sweet. It just tastes so bitter. And it's just like, I don't understand why it's a thing. I'm like, I mean, I do understand why it's a thing, but I also really hate it. To me, it doesn't taste sweet. It just tastes bitter. So
yeah. You're saying if you took coffee ice cream and added like a scoop of Splenda, you'd be like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
I'm not sitting here claiming that coffee ice cream doesn't have sugar. It's not what I said. You don't have receipts for that. What I'm saying is that to me, it just tastes like it doesn't have sugar. It's just bitter to me.
Okay.
It's like if somebody burnt coffee and then put it in the fridge and like turned it into ice cream or whatever, and that's what it was. I was just like, I don't understand the like for it maybe as much.
So
but
do you
also
think,
another thing is that like that's bad. But what's worse really is, okay, maybe you have a differing opinion on this. You hate coffee ice cream. What's worse, mint chocolate chip or coffee ice cream?
Oh, I like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
You like mint chocolate ice cream?
I like mint chocolate.
I love thin mints, but I hate mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Mint chocolate chip ice cream tastes like mint chocolate chip ice cream. Coffee ice cream does not taste like coffee ice cream.
That's how I feel about chocolate ice cream. To me, chocolate ice cream does not taste like chocolate.
Thank you. I don't like chocolate ice cream. It's not good.
It doesn't taste like chocolate. It literally does not. Like, at all.
I'll have like a rocky road situation when there's enough other stuff in it to where it kind of distracts from it. I almost never want just pure chocolate ice cream.
I've never seen you order. Actually, I'm not sure we've gotten ice cream together actually ever. No. Yeah, no. We've never gone to like Brahms.
We've been to Brahms. Yes, we have.
On the class trip.
Don't you remember the claim that Brahms is an optical illusion? We've definitely been to a Brahms.
But I don't remember what you got. I don't think you remember. It was probably vanilla because that's literally what I get.
I think it was. I think we both got vanilla.
Yeah, we were really sticking to the same thing that day. Yeah. But okay, one thing you do that kind of like is weird to me. Not me roasting Jeremy.
Yay.
One thing I've seen you do on Zoom.
Is it the applesauce?
The applesauce. It bothers me to the core. I hate it so much. It makes me so uncomfortable because I'll be like watching a movie and Jeremy will just take like the giant thing of like applesauce and just drink it like a drink. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's really gross to me.
You're not an applesauce fan?
So I, growing up, always used applesauce to take medicine. So I associate applesauce with medicine. So I really don't like it. So to see you just chug like a whole thing of it is very disgusting. It's just really shocking.
I think that children are gatekeeping applesauce and people need to get on board that applesauce is good.
I don't endorse this.
Great. You don't have to. I'll endorse it for us. I buy big jugs of unsweetened applesauce because I don't like sweetened applesauce.
What does it taste like not sweetened?
It's just pureed apples. Like there's no added sugar to it.
Yeah, but like drinking it, how does that consistency go down your throat and you're like, yay, a drink? I was like, applesauce is not a liquid, really.
It's kind of a liquid.
Jerry, sure. I would make the claim more like, okay, if you were down here downing like Trix yogurt or something,
ew,
I'd be like, okay, sure.
No,
but like, applesauce, okay, sure. That's even less likely to go down your throat. It feels like when it's in motion, it would be easier for like yogurt to go down your throat versus applesauce.
I like yogurt and I like ice cream. I don't like the feeling of yogurt at the back of my throat.
So how do you eat yogurt? Because that's definitely how you eat yogurt. Like what is the... How
do you eat yogurt like that? I eat yogurt with a spoon and with blueberries every morning. I don't down yogurt like a heathen. Only applesauce is the way you do that.
It really distressed me the first time I saw him do that. I took a moment and I was really staring at the screen. And I'm like, Jeremy, is that applesauce? Made no comment because I'm a benevolent friend. But also I was like, this is...
So you're so benevolent, you wait until it's broadcasted for
no, I wait until I have a platform. I'm like, okay. Wow. So Jeremy, here's a list.
Mm-hmm. I really love how you girl boss your hate.
Right. Exactly. Jeremy Gay keeps his, I girl boss mine. Together, we're just, you know.
I'm telling you, these children are gatekeeping the applesauce. Adults should be able to eat applesauce all they want.
Right. I don't care, actually. They can have applesauce. They can have applesauce. They can have, honestly, any type of yogurt. I can't eat yogurt. I mean, I guess they could get like dairy-free yogurt, but I don't know. Dairy things hit different when it's not actual dairy. It's like, what is this actually, though? I didn't really like yogurt before, though. So that's not a problem for me. When I was younger, I did. When I'm an adult, no, thank you.
You're going to hate this. What do you think my favorite kind of yogurt is?
Give me a hint. Is it like a fruit flavor?
It is not.
Is it stupid mint chocolate chip yogurt?
I don't think they sell. I mean, they probably do sell mint chocolate chip yogurt, but no.
Coffee. Flavored yogurt.
No, I love...
Wait, let me guess.
You've had three, but okay.
Like, if I heard it by itself, I'd be like, oh yes, Jeremy loves this.
I don't know if you'll be able to guess it, but after I say it, you'll be like, oh, that aligns with other things I don't like about your eating habits.
You're going to say that aligns with other things I don't like about you. Like, thanks, Jeremy. let's see. Is it a fruit?
We've already established it's not a fruit.
Cinnamon?
No. Okay. So I like Greek plain yogurt. I like it by itself. I also like it with blueberries.
Blueberries. I don't like blueberries just when they're what is it? Warm temperature. I love frozen blueberries. You get like the frozen blueberries and you take them out and you eat them frozen and it's so good. I don't like them room temperature.
Okay, but who's eating, but blueberries are refrigerated. Who's eating them room temperature?
I mean... I see people like who have like blueberries in their lunch, right? And then they take them out and it's like really not chilled at all because it was not in the fridge. And then they just eat them like that. And they're like, you want some blueberries? I'm like, no.
So this was the claim.
But also refrigerated blueberries are also not enough for me. I really love frozen fruits. Frozen blueberries hits different.
I like both, but I think I prefer fresh blueberries.
Room temperature. Okay.
So do you think like dairy milk is stored room temperature then? If you're like, room temperature.
No. You think I'm dumb, Jeremy? Is that what you're insinuating?
I didn't say those words out of my mouth.
I didn't say you're not dumb, Ruby. I just definitely implied it. That was that response. I'll translate for the audience since they can't see your facial expressions.
I make no facial expressions. I just smile.
Jeremy's a mime. I think we would not be very good at being mimes. Do you think if we were to be like mimes for a day, we would be able to do that and not talk at all?
Wait, is the only qualification that I don't have to talk?
No, you're a mime. I'm sorry. Is the only qualification for mime? I'm sorry. So you're in like Paris and you see a mime and if it's standing there, you're like, yes, they're doing what mimes do.
What if I'm an antisocial mime that doesn't want to be around other humans?
So what do you do? Just like dress up as a mime and sit on a bench?
Yeah, I could do that.
I know you could.
And then if anyone tries to talk to me, I just walk away.
It's very on brand for Jeremy.
Inspired by your life, really.
As a mime? Like, what is the claim here? I don't understand the joke.
How I've seen you interact with other humans. I'm inspired by your social skills.
Oh, are you claiming that you are your anti-social skills from me? That is a that is a huge claim, my friend. Like,
I have learned so much from you.
Don't sit here and blame your antisocialness on me.
I wasn't blaming. I was commending you.
So you're saying that antisocial is one of your best qualities. That's the claim.
I'm saying it's a quality that I learned from you. And I'm thankful that you were sharing your time and space with me to teach me that.
I love that any sentence that starts with, I'm glad you're sharing your time and space with me, always ends with something very just detrimentally not true. No, I did not make Jeremy antisocial, for the record. Honestly, his personality has affected mine way more, and we have witnesses who would agree to that. So,
God,
this is facts. This is true. Wait, I actually do.
So then are you claiming then that your personality is built off of mine? I thought we were coming to the consensus that that sort of claim is super problematic.
Oh, it is super problematic, but I like making jokes about it anyway because I find it amusing. It's kind of like the audacity, but also the narrative, the little narrative that's in that of you like corrupting me is kind of everything to me in some ways because it's funny.
What I love about that narrative is that there's some spin of it out there that somehow you were not sarcastic at a given point of time and I somehow made you sarcastic.
The claim is that I was not sarcastic and I was not cynical and I was not negative and I was just a very positive, happy person.
I mean, all of that is wild because all of that is untrue. But the claim that you were not sarcastic is the wildest of all of them.
Why? Why is that the wildest thing?
Of those, I mean, because all of those, I feel like you, I mean, you're not like happy, peppy. That's not your spiritual gift. But sarcastic? Like, I feel like you've been sarcastic since birth.
What he's really saying is that sarcasm is my spiritual gift.
Yeah.
So are you saying that I was always sarcastic?
I would say so.
So out of the claims that were made, it's the sarcasm that really threw you for a loop. It wasn't the other things. It was like this one I have issues with.
What were the other ones?
Pessimism, being mean-spirited, I guess.
Because you were a saint. Okay.
Sorry, why do I feel like I'm in the middle of these two people? This is a lose-lose situation for me. There's no good way to say this.
Look,
it's like, no, Ruby, you like, it's one side being like, Ruby, you're so problematic, and Jerry being like, that's not you, it's not me.
No, I will say, for the record, she girl bossed all those characteristics all by herself.
No, you had to claim some of them. I feel like the people that you're friends with when you're younger really do shape your personality to a certain degree. I don't know if you've experienced that.
No, I definitely
but
have.
But I did.
But by the same token, it's not a one-way thing.
No. So what'd you get from me, Jerry, besides antisocialness?
Besides the will to just leave all humans alone, I think I've become more sarcastic by being a friend.
Really? Which one of us had hyperbole?
I don't do hyperbole.
It's just me? Maybe that one is just me. You're like, yes, Ruby. Actually, though, I have receipts for that.
No, I've gotten comments from other friends that they're like, you don't really exaggerate at all. It's, if something is wild and you claim it's wild, it is wild. Versus Ruby, she'll be like walking down the street and like a dog will walk by her and she'll be like, oh my gosh, I saw a dragon.
Jeremy just thinks I lie. We've had this conversation before. I feel like it's gotten to the point where like my hyperbole apparently is just so bad that any type of situation I recount him is like looked at under a microscope. Like, okay, what parts of these seem true? Like one, I will never not be upset.
Oh God.
And the podcast hasn't heard the story yet because I'm sure you meshed it. So one time, right, there was a clock and I was like winding it up and just, no, Jeremy's already laughing at me. So mad. It like ricocheted. Like apparently with the old class, you're not supposed to twist it all the way because there'll be resistance and it'll like spring off. It sprung off, broke my nail, hit me in the forehead, and then like flew across the table. I was traumatized. So then I called Jeremy with like no notice. So you know it's serious, right? And he just takes it as a joke the whole time, being like, Ruby, what do you mean? I don't understand. Like, he didn't believe me either. He was like, Ruby, are you sure that happened? I'm like,
This is like revisionist history. I got a call from Ruby. That is true. Unannounced. That is also true. About a demonic clock.
That's also not true. When did I say the word demonic? Am I going to have to start recording our conversations? Demonic never came out of my mouth.
A clock that she was winding up and apparently hit her thumb, which it ruined her manicure, which is, I mean, a travesty, and hit her in the head, okay? That stuff, I'm not denying any of that is true.
It hit me in the head, and I was traumatized because I could have been blind.
Okay, see, here's where we start to deviate into, like, Alice in Wonderland territory. So I agree with all the actual statements that there was something from a clock that hit your thumb and then hit your forehead. The call from you was not that. It was, Jeremy, I was almost blinded by a clock. That was the thesis. That was the thesis.
That is a true statement, though. Literally, I do not understand. Okay,
let me
twisting a clock up and it hits your nail and hits your forehead and then flings off your forehead. Like, how were you not almost blinded by that? That could have hit my eye and I could have been blind. And I called Jeremy, very distressed, obviously very distressed.
Okay.
And he just doesn't understand what's happening.
Well, let me paint the picture real fast as to what I experienced. Ruby saying, a clock tried to blind me. I'm like, okay. In my mind, that means, oh no, some piece of a clock entered her eye or hit her eye.
Right. And in his mind, preferably a grandfather clock, apparently.
Whatever kind of clock it was. The response to my whole, oh, something went in your eye was not, oh no, it went in my forehead. The first part of your answer was, no, it hit my thumb. So I'm naturally confused because I'm like, okay, so you were blinded by a clock because it hit your thumb. And then we entered into a whole like tangent about how it ruined your manicure. And that seemed to be like the new thesis, which then we never went back to why it almost blinded you. And then it hit your forehead and then I guess it hurt. So any of that did the any part of the clock enter the eye?
No, ever? But I was almost okay. If it would have hit my eye, I just would have been blind.
Okay, that's not, you can't make that claim.
I don't see how that's not seen.
That's, you can't make that claim. You think that it would automatically make
Ruby,
you blind.
It's okay. You would have been totally
it would have
blind.
Automatically made you blind. That's what you're claiming. If it hit your eye.
Yes, that is my claim. It's going with a lot of force.
Yeah, okay. But people get like punched in the eye.
Jeremy is just not the person to call. That is the message from this. Because I was like distressed. And all I got was something about a manicure.
I did not make the claim about the manicure. That was a tangent that you went down to explain how it injured your thumb, which again is not your eye.
Jeremy is not the person to call in distress times. That's the real message from here. I was very traumatized by that. He could tell I was traumatized.
So what do you want me to do in this situation? So I'm not the person to call, but I'm not someone who's going to escalate a situation. So did you want me to just gaslight you and be like, oh my gosh, it hit your thumb. You're lucky you didn't lose sight, smell, all senses. They're all through the thumb, particularly when it's manicured.
I'm sorry. Are you saying what you did was definitely just like, oh yes, this is...
I don't know what you'd expect me to do.
I think I was expecting you to understand how I was almost blinded by a clock.
But fundamentally, you were not. Maybe you felt like you could have been blinded. But like none of the steps at all had anything enter your eye, which I feel like is like a precursor to be blinded by an object.
I didn't say I was blinded. I said I was almost blinded. This is where we differ. To me, if somebody told me this story, I would be like, oh yeah, that's horrible. And sympathize with them. And Jeremy, on the other hand, is like, oh no, Ruby, this is ridiculous. This doesn't make sense. And then proceeds, like, one time you sent me a text about how your manicure got messed up. And you're like, it must have been the clock, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shut up.
I stand by that joke.
What do you mean it was your text?
I stand by it. It was a good bit. It was a good callback.
This is not a fun bit. Me being almost blind. This is just going back to the history that we have of Jeremy making traumatic things, just jokes. Oh, you lost your grandmother's ring? Here's a meme about it. Jeremy likes to make fun of my pain. So
I don't make fun of anything. I just wanted there to be a narrative in place that made sense with you being almost blinded.
Right. So me being distressed took fourth place in this whole thing. It was first, where's the logic, Ruby? Where's the clock? What is the manicure situation? Ruby's thoughts and feelings are like six on this one.
Look. I sympathize with your situation. I understand that it was not a fun thing.
You do not. What
I get
a
it.
Lie. That is the most, that is the least amount of sympathy for a statement from me.
I will say I would sympathize more with the situation if the thesis matched everything that happened.
Whatever. Anyways, I'm still mad about this.
I know you are. So, I mean, maybe the lesson here is that if you're going to get almost blinded by a clock, actually get almost blinded by a clock.
The audacity. Because Jeremy takes a stance where, like, my hyperbole is like, what is happening. But then at the same time, you seem like you're enjoying my hyperbole. So I don't know, because I feel insulted. And I'm like, so is this funny to you? My trauma?
What do you want me to do, cry?
No, but I just like the way you say it is like, that actually didn't happen, Ruby, but this is funny.
I don't know what to say.
Great. I love that for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hyperbole is not an asset of Jeremy's personality. So that is mine then. Sarcasm, I think I got from my friends. That's a large claim. That's very much like a foundational thing.
I'd agree with that. I guess we can just jump into our movie, which is another thing we disagree on. This is the
disagree on, right?
I don't know. I was thinking back. Okay, is this the first movie we've disagreed on like this?
You loved it and I didn't,
or vice versa.
Did you like Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny?
No,
I think I was a stan of that one. I think maybe that was our first one.
Maybe this is the second one then.
Second one. But yeah, I did not enjoy this movie.
I loved this movie.
It's so not that I didn't fun. Like, okay, it's I would say it's Ryan and Wallace. That's not correct. It's
Brian and Charles. It's a 2022 film. It's I think done in the UK, I want to say.
The synopsis is essentially like a lonely guy in a small town builds a robot that comes to life, kind of, sort of, still a robot. They're friends and they like build a friendship and he meets a girl and they fall in love. And the villagers also, you know, kind of very Frankenstein where they're like, oh, we're going to burn him. Like, what is he doing? And then he like saves him. And then at the end, he like travels the world. He sends him off to travel the world. So that was the quick synopsis. That was a Spark Notes edition, essentially.
So the movie opens, and like you said, it's a small, quaint village somewhere in the UK, I'm assuming. There's the main character who is not the robot, Brian, who seems to be living alone and toys around with a bunch of trinkets and inventions and tries to make things that he deems interesting or will bring joy to his life and those around him. So there are lots of shots of him going to the grocery store with a special pair of shoes that he developed, or cooking with a special kind of device, or all that to say he's inventive and seems like a nice guy. I will say it took me a while to get used to how it was shot. At the time we were both saying, oh, this is like a TLC show, and it did feel kind of like a TLC show, and that he was speaking directly to camera, and then the person that is filming is interacting with Brian throughout the whole movie.
It was filmed like a documentary. But the cinematography was really nice. Like, I enjoyed the cinematography. I did enjoy Brian. I think yeah. I stan him more as a character than Charles, and Charles is the robot.
That's a bold claim.
I do stan Brian more. I think Charles, like, he had his moments. I'll give him that.
Eventually, he decides to build a companion, which ends up being Charles. How would we describe Charles the robot? It is a laundry machine with a button-down shirt around it. The head appears to be like if Claire's was doing like a mannequin about Albert Einstein, that's what the face is like. And Charles walks by what appears to be actual human legs and an actor. So I think logistically how it's working is just some big cardboard box that a human is wearing with the mannequin on top.
His eye lights up. And he just is so like I don't really, all of his lines are just facts, but he has like so much personality at the same time.
Very inquisitive.
He was 50-50 for me. Like sometimes I was like, yes, go off, an icon. And other times I was like, this is no.
So did you find Charles annoying at times?
Yeah, definitely, slightly. I'm sorry. When he goes to sleep, he says, I am dreaming, over and over and over again.
That sent me. Yeah, I don't find Charles annoying at all.
He was like lovable, annoying, kind of like Spencer from iCarly. It was like he was just doing things to do things. Like when he would just like decide to do things. Like what, like in one scene when like Brian comes back and he's like in a hula skirt wanting to go to Honolulu. Oh my God.
This was hysterical to me. Charles awakens like Frankenstein, kind of like you said, and he's very inquisitive and is trying to learn about things and asks Brian a billion questions, but also has a lot of information out the gate because he reads a bunch of books and the dictionary and all this kind of stuff. But one scene is Brian and Charles watching television, what appears to be an infomercial about Hawaii, to which Charles is hellbent on making it to Hawaii.
See, I zoned out at this point, so I did not know that that was why he was like...
I'm sorry, this scene was iconic. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? This scene was great.
No, so no, I saw the scene watching. Where he was like in a hula skirt wanting to go to Honolulu. But the scene of him watching the infomercial, I have no recollection of.
See, I guess I watched the film and other people didn't. The lore of this scene before is great. So they're watching this infomercial about Hawaii. Charles is like, I am a Hawaii resident. Take me there now. And they mention Honolulu. And this is where Charles starts trying to say Honolulu. We eventually get to, what is the final version, like Honolulu or something?
Yeah, Honolulu.
And then it pans to a scene that the next day Charles has made his own hula skirt out of what appears to be either tablecloth material or just paper. And he is marching his way. He is walking through the fields of England to Hawaii because he is determined that he can make it there.
Yeah, that was an iconic scene.
He's great. Yeah, but most of the movie, though, is Brian trying to keep Charles from interacting with the rest of the town because he's worried. Yeah, the one thing I wasn't clear on is I think he was worried about the town treating Charles poorly or as an object, which, spoiler alert, we'll get to in a minute. But it also seemed like he was very protective of Charles, that he was wanting to kind of keep his world a very good, friendly place and not be exposed to kind of this world that had beaten down Brian. Which I thought was, on one hand, sweet. On the other hand, it was kind of restrictive for Charles. We also meet Brian's love interest,
Lola.
Mabel.
Is her name Lola? Oh, I was way off. It's not Lola.
I think it's Mabel.
I thought it was an L name, like Lola. That sounds
we're both wrong. We're both wrong. It's Hazel. Who?
We didn't care about it all.
I enjoyed this, but to be fair, she was not a main character like Brian and Charles. The only main characters that got much of an arc were the two. But she's around and starts hanging out with Brian more. She has a parrot. That's her other main storyline. Or parrot. She has a bird. Do you remember this at all? Where she's like a... Did you watch this movie? Were you just watching like Vampire Diaries instead?
Me on my phone watching that. I did not do that. I did not do that, actually, though. I did watch this movie. I watched it. I know what happens.
Okay. But there's a side love interest situation, which is nice and heartwarming. I wouldn't say it's the main plot, but spoiler alert, at the end, they get together and it's like a positive thing for Brian. But as Charles begins interacting with more of the townsfolk, there's one family in particular who are terrible in all aspects, like destroying property, don't care about other people. There's a scene where they treat an employee at a grocery store really poorly, which I hated. But eventually they kidnap Charles and force him into like indentured servitude at their house. At that point, I was invested in Charles. I'm like, Charles.
Jeremy's very invested in this movie. He was like sending like 7 texts in the chat being like, they better go rescue Charles. They need to get Charles.
Justice for Charles. Charles, you better get them. Those children were terrible. I'm sorry. The children were terrible. They kidnapped Charles. The little girls were brats. And not like the doll from the 2000s, like actual brats that were not fun. The parents were bad. The mom was bad. All of them were bad. So yeah, Charles could have just been like, goodbye, everyone. Electrocuted each of them, went home, and I would have been like, slay Charles. You did it, Charles. That's how I wanted this movie to be. But unfortunately, they were so abusive to Charles that Charles was barely walking by like midday after they stole him. And then their whole thing next was going to be, we're going to burn Charles. We're going to put Charles in a bonfire. Because his family's redeeming quality, by the way. The only great thing they do in the town, supposedly, is that they make a gigantic bonfire. So I guess their redeeming quality is arson. So it was like the little arsonist stole Charles, which was very unfortunate, hated it. And during the bonfire, because Brian was all like, I can't fight big arson, man. That would be bad. Which I was like, Brian, come on. Just like kick the arsonist in the balls or something. Come on. If they have Charles, it's obvious you got to get Charles back. I did not appreciate Brian and Lola slash Hazel slash Mabel when they drove away without Charles, because Charles was not with them. What the hell? You left Charles. We don't leave Charles, okay?
Darian's very invested.
I am very invested in this movie because Charles was iconic, okay?
Meanwhile, I don't know what I was doing for this movie.
You were watching Vampire Diaries, and that's fine for you. Anyway, so they did the bonfire. They rescue Charles from the bonfire. There's a whole chase scene at the end. Arsonists are running after them. And then, I'm like, okay, as long as Charles is okay, it's all going to be fine. It was great, though, because Charles ended up like throwing cabbages. That's another thing. Charles is very into cabbages. He likes eating cabbages. He likes throwing cabbages. He is a cabbage fiend. As is Brian, but like the true stand of cabbages.
I feel like you would be just best friends with Charles. Like that's your BFF for life.
Charles is an icon. Like Ruby, you got to be more like Charles. Come on now. Get on that. Okay. Less like Vampire Diaries, more like Charles.
Very mixed signals for my friends. You need to be more like a robot, Ruby.
Charles had a lot of personality for a robot, to be fair.
Right.
Anyway, Charles is rescued. Charles is reunited with Brian and Lola slash Hazel slash whatever. And then I didn't understand the logistics of this, like a round the world ticket. Like, I don't know if that's like a thing really in life in the world, but it's a movie. We suspend disbelief. There's already a talking robot named Charles who we all adore. We can make amends with this idea of a round trip ticket. Okay, so he gives him the ticket and like Charles is waving and saying goodbye on this train ride. And it was very sentimental.
And he raps at the end.
He turns into Jay-Z at the end. And honestly, outsold Eminem, Nicki Minaj, who? Like, it's all Charles. So yeah, this movie, we disagreed on. I mean, one of us watched this movie, one of us didn't watch this movie. That's basically what happened.
I watched it. I was there.
What I don't get is that you thought this movie was sad.
It was sad.
No.
It was sad.
How was it sad?
It was very like melancholy. It had this like, it had a very melancholy undertone to it. And maybe I think that was mostly done through the cinematography and the singular certain shots that they had and frames put in place. It was just very like somber. But then I think they tried to make it more lighthearted through dialogue, which sometimes worked. Because Charles's dialogue was not necessarily dialogue. It was a lot of facts about things.
There was conflict in the movie, which is different, I guess, than Willy Jamaluli in The Cacocoon, which is the only movie I can think of that we watched.
The audacity that you would compare them. To me, they're just not comparable at all.
They're both indie, quirky films with two main lead characters that have conflict internally and also with the world. Like, it's not a wild comparison. The plots are different.
Interesting. It's like heartfelt sad is what I would put this under. Whereas Willy Jamaluli and the Cacocoon, I'd put under comedic heartfelt.
I think this one is comedic and heartfelt too. It's literally a comedy. Like everywhere designates it a comedy.
Yeah, but we know that the prime genres mean nothing. They put like Dr. Goldfoot in sci-fi. Is he sci-fi? No.
Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, all these places are calling this comedy because it is a comedy. Just saying.
Should you go watch this? Let Jeremy handle this since, you know, I zoned out quite a bit.
Are you going to say no? Like people shouldn't see it?
It's not your traditional comedy.
No, it's
not.
I don't think
it's really that comedic. Like it is that comedic, but I think the mix of how it's filmed and the tone of it all makes it into this like weird space of it's just very heartfelt with comedic aspects. It's not a baseline comedy.
Do you think movies like Willy Jamaluli or Don't Talk to Irene was another one that kind of is like an indie film? Do you think those are like a comedy then?
Yeah, I think Willy Jamaluli and the Cacocoon, I think that that was more of a baseline comedy than this was. I think it was still very heartfelt. The Don't Talk to Irene one, I think was, that felt like a family heartfelt movie. Like, it had comedic aspects, but I wouldn't be like, it's a comedy. I think it was like feel-good family movie is what I put that one under.
Interesting.
To me, this one out of the three of those was probably the one that I don't think was a baseline comedy. I think it was heartfelt, melancholy, kind of this weird, like, I don't know. It felt very docu, but it wasn't a documentary. But then it just had comedic aspects on top of it. To me, this did not feel like it was woven in as in, like, a baseline thing.
I disagree. Shocker, shocker. I think, like, I don't remember Willie, Jamali, and the Cockatoon being laugh out loud funny, but I remember being heartfelt and there being, I would still call it like a comedy amongst other things. Like, there were funny parts. Maybe this movie, instead of being like laugh out loud funny, even though I did laugh a lot, it's very, I don't want to say it's like very British, but it kind of is very British in that it's more witty.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I love British comedies. This one, it just felt too docu, like serious melancholy docu with some comedy woven in through certain characters. It did not feel like there was an intention to make it comedy, like the main aspect to it.
So what would you rate this out of 10, I guess?
I mean,
be honest.
Well, I mean, I didn't really like it, but is it a good movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would probably get an 8 out of 10 for a type of movie it is. I think it was still a very well done movie. I really enjoyed the cinematography. I enjoyed the way things were shot. Did I like it? Personally, I would give it like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
That's fair. I might go like an 8 out of 10, an 8.5 maybe. I don't know what I gave Willie Jamali, but I liked this more than Willie Jamali and the Cockatoo. I thought this one, for me, made me laugh a lot. I enjoyed the wit of it. And I appreciated that it was a different movie. I don't know if I've seen anything that is very similar to this. So yeah, maybe I'll go 8.5 out of 10. Yeah, I'd say go watch it. But it's on Amazon Prime. Look it up if you're interested. But yeah, that's our movie review of Brian and Charles. So for our last segment for season 3, we're starting this new thing where we say this versus that. We're going to start with Disney Channel, okay? Demi versus Selena. Interesting. Okay, why?
I think I like Selena more just because, well, first off, I definitely watched more of her shows as a kid on Disney, mm-hmm. So I feel more connected to the character, like Alex Russo, things like that. I'm like, I found her very funny. I don't know. She just seemed always very genuine, I guess.
Okay.
Still does. I still appreciate her acting and things like that. I don't know that much about Demi either. Did not follow that much news about Demi Lovato.
Mm.
I'm assuming yours is Demi.
If we're saying overall, I think it would be Selena.
Oh, okay.
The shows were better. Like, Wizards was a better show to me than Sunny with a Chance or So Random were. And certainly now, like, I really enjoy her in Only Murders in the Building, which I'm sure everyone has seen that at this point, but if you haven't, go see it. The only exception is music. I'm not a huge fan of either person's music, but if you told me, hey, you have to go see one of them live, I'm not going to go see Selena Gomez live. Of the two of them, like, one of them is a singer and one of them is not.
Yeah, I mean, they were really they were the two big, well, I can't say Raven Simone would also be that. Like, I'm trying to think of all the big Disney Channel actresses at the time. You had
Miley.
Okay, yeah, Miley. But I'm thinking like the three of them, right? Mm-hmm. There's nobody outside of the, I don't know who else would count as that.
Bridget Medler. Bridget, is that right? Is that her name?
Yes, Jeremy. If you had to think of her name, I'm not really sure. She's out there with Miley Cyrus and Selena Gomez. And there has to be another actress.
I think Ashley Tisdale was pretty big. I would say that counts.
Was she pretty big? She didn't really go and have like a music career.
She did. It wasn't as big, but she did.
But not on the same level as like Selena, Demi, or Miley, really.
True. That's true. But Hannah Montana holds a special place in at least my childhood. I refuse to go back and rewatch it because I know it's probably bad.
I think I know that they put up some of those. We should watch if they have it on there. That 1 hour long special, we should react to that next week. The he should be the one 1 hour special.
Oh my God.
Jake Ryan versus Who was the other guy?
Jake Ryan.
The band
versus,
guy. Jesse.
Yeah. I don't know the last name.
We should
name.
React to that. Because I remember that was like such a like, everybody was watching that. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. So I wonder if how it sounds.
Everyone was like, which 8-foot by 3-foot photo is Miley going to choose?
She was polling her relatives, her friends, these two guys. Like, if that's on YouTube, we should definitely react to that. That's our reaction next week is going to be the 1-hour Hannah Montana special.
We could. That would be wild.
What is that called? He could be the one, right? Ah, yes, Disney Channel. Okay. 13 days ago, uploaded He Could Be the One. It's 49 minutes and 27 seconds. We'll get back to that with you guys next week then. That's what we're going to review. It'll be great. It can't be that bad. Maybe it'll hold up and I'll be surprised.
This is just Jeremy, who's editing this later on, updating y'all. Turns out, it did not hold up. It was quite bad. So, because of Ruby, part of my childhood was ruined, but what's new? Anyway, back to the podcast.
But yeah, if we're adding Miley to the mix of this, well, we can't. It's this versus that.
Well, Jeremy would pick Miley under any circumstance, so.
Of those three, certainly. Anyway, do we have any socials that we could plug? You want to take that away, Ruby?
On Instagram, at everythingistyne. At everything is tying on TikTok. We've gone from like 5 socials to 2. So
yeah,
we do have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, we do. There's stuff on there.
At everything is tying.
Yeah.
Our last video was probably about Drag Race.
Certainly was. Yeah.
And that was before I ever actually saw Drag Race. So if my opinions are wild, don't judge me.
Fair enough. Well, that's all we have for this week. We hope you join us next time at Everything Is Tyne. That sounds almost like we're doing a like great news broadcast that people care about.
Us as news broadcasters would be kind of scary. Us reporting the news, it's just wildly not getting it correct.
Anyway, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.